Good morning, my friends. This is Missionary James Robinette. I'm with Action International Ministries Uganda. And by the gracious will of God, I am very pleased to share the truth of God, the Word of God, with you this Lord's Day morning. The Lord blesses my soul as I meet with Him in worship and as I preach and teach His Word. And I enjoy this fellowship with you that I have, dear friend, dear believer in Christ, as we meet with God in His Word together. Praise the Lord. This authoritative Word of the living God, the Word that has all authority to govern our lives and to govern the churches. We thank God for it. And it is our blessing today to look at Psalm 23, a much beloved psalm, a psalm that is well known to many of us. Some of us have memorized this psalm. In fact, that is a wonderful application that we should make from the Bible. That is, that we memorize parts of Scripture. And this is a beautiful part of Scripture to memorize because it gives us such comfort. It strengthens us in the faith. It reminds us that God cares for us, that He is our Father, and that He will meet all of our needs, including our great need of forgiveness of sin, for His own glory's sake. It tells us about how God, our Shepherd, will protect us and tend to us and care for us and lead us and direct us and, yes, honor us, and how it is that He will always bring goodness and mercy to those who trust in Him through His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, and to those that trust in Him, that He will lead us to dwell with Him forever. For length of days, for eternal ages, we abide with God in Christ. And so, my friends, this beloved and beautiful psalm is really our choice blessing today. And so we want to look at it and make brief comment to better understand the meaning of David, the psalmist, the writer, and in this worship the great and living God. He is worthy. My friends, our contact number is 0782-652-143. Learn more about Action International Ministries Uganda at www.actionuganda.net. At that website, you'll find good teaching materials. There are articles, there is writing, my wife's writing, my writing, and you can find out more about our ministry. There are ministry descriptions there. There are audio sermons. There are photos. There are Christian meditations. There are good links to good Bible teaching sites. And so do avail yourself of this resource, www.actionuganda.net. You know, the truth of God is like water that comes into our hearts. The blessing of God is like food to our souls. And we thank God that this very rich psalm, Psalm 23, is indeed as water and food to our needy and hungry hearts. And God feeds us and blesses us and satisfies us through this simple and rather short psalm, it's 6 verses in length, in which David declares the glory of God, the Shepherd, the Lord Jesus Christ, the Good Shepherd. He is the Shepherd of our souls. And by the Spirit, David reveals Christ the Good Shepherd to us in His work of tending to us and helping us, directing us from this world in which we have sinned to His glorious dwelling place where there is no sin, where sin cannot dwell, where we are forever blessed in the goodness of God for eternal ages. And so, my friends, I love this psalm. I memorized it many years ago. I think about it often, and I trust that Psalm 23 will bless your heart. It is fully able to bring the blessings of God through Jesus Christ to the heart of a human being, and we thank Him for it. My friends, let us pray. Lord, thank You. Thank You for the rich, the choice blessings that are found in this beautiful psalm. which declares to us that you are our God, our shepherd, and how good it is to follow you, our good shepherd. How good it is to receive your blessing and mercy. How good it is to know that you always provide for us, that all that we need, you truly give us. How blessed it is to know that when we come to die, that you will be with us and that you will go into the grave with us in a way of speaking, and that your fellowship with us will never break. Lord, thank you that you are God, our protector. Thank you that you honor us, that you prepare a table before us, and we thank you for your goodness and love, which brings all of these blessings to us. Thank you for the instructive, God-blessed word that we received this morning. And Lord, so you have blessed us, and we must worship you and thank you for such blessing. In Jesus' name, amen. And so, my friends, let's hear now Psalm 23, a psalm of David. This is the New King James Version of the Holy Bible. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Amen. Father, again, we thank you that you are our shepherd, and we give you thanks for all that that means. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. And so, my friend, Psalm 23 is a psalm in which David's great confidence in God is so clearly expressed. His care and goodness is revealed to us by the Holy Ghost. And we see here that David has strong confidence that God, in his goodness, is the shepherd of his people. And we find here, too, a beautiful picture of God's love and his care for us, and that he honors us in that he has prepared a table for us where we will meet with him and dine, a banqueting table, a table for victory. And this is enjoyed as the presence of our enemies is found at this banqueting table. It's almost as though God highlights his honor for us in that he himself will banquet us, and he will place at the table the presence of our enemies, that they must see God's honor for us. We remember that Jesus teaches us to seek the honor that God gives and not the honor that man gives. And so this is a remarkable honor. Those who have opposed us and have opposed the gospel in a sense through us, our enemies will be in the presence and understand that God himself has been well pleased with us. And so we have here the image of God as our shepherd. And we must remark quickly that this is a beautiful picture of our dependence upon God, just as sheep are dependent upon their shepherds, their masters, for all of their needs. And so it is that David, who was a shepherd as a boy and as a youth, declares that God is his shepherd. He is our shepherd. He is the one who cares for us. And this is an absolutely beautiful and full picture of the care of God. God provides the food and water and protection that we need, just as it is that the shepherds would provide for the sheep's every need. And so we find here, my friends, that the Lord clearly is revealed to us as the Good Shepherd. We see that in that Jesus tells us in the New Testament that he is the Good Shepherd. And so David identifies the Lord as his shepherd, and Jesus identifies himself as the Good Shepherd, so that we see that the shepherd here is one and the same as the Good Shepherd, who only brings good to his people. This remarkable image of the people of God being the flock of God, or as we find in the Gospels, the little flock, the flock that God himself cares for, the very people of God, the people, the sheep of his hand. And we find in this imagery that the Lord is our shepherd, that he is intimately acquainted with us. He knows us intimately. He created us. He fashioned us. He sees our needs, and he meets those needs. He alone can be the shepherd of his people, and he alone can meet our every need. So that David declares there in Psalm 23, verse 1, that because the Lord is my shepherd, and notice that declaration, the Lord is my shepherd, the Lord cares for me, the Lord God tends to me. In view of this declaration, he then brings us to this conclusion, this understanding, and I shall not lack. Because God is my shepherd, my needs will be met. Now, my friends, that's an absolutely wonderful promise that we must claim as Christians in Uganda when we face many needs. Of course, every person on the globe has many needs. But in Uganda, as we face at times scarcity of food, as there is poverty, as there is a lack of financial resources at times, as there is a lack of medical care, for instance, as raising a family isn't easy, as the economy has its turns, its ups and downs, we must see and trust implicitly that Jesus Christ, our Good Shepherd, has promised to meet our needs. There is an implied promise here in Psalm 23, verse 1, God will meet my every need, so that David boldly declares, I shall not lack. All that we need is truly given to us, many times not in the way that we would expect or perhaps even in the way we pray for, but in God's perfect wisdom and way, he provides perfectly so that we do not lack. Every spiritual need is met by the Good Shepherd. Every material, temporal need is met by the Good Shepherd. And we find in verse 2 that the Good Shepherd leads us wisely. As a shepherd would make his sheep to lie down in green pastures, literally pastures of tender grass, where there is excellent and plentiful food, so it is that God, our shepherd, tends to us and instructs us to lie down where there is a pasture of tender grass and to feed upon it. Notice in his wisdom that he gives us understanding and leads us to feed properly, to feed upon the tender grass in this lush pasture of blessing. And so he leads us again, praise God, by the Spirit beside the still waters, literally the waters of rest, where we drink the cooling, refreshing, clean water. The Spirit tends to us, and God waters us, if you will, and he cares for us. Notice again in his wisdom, he leads us to this place of blessing where we drink of the still waters, the waters of rest. The picture here is of a good water to drink from, good in every way, perfectly clean, perfectly clear, perfectly satisfying, perfectly of help to us. And so we lie down and feed in green pastures, and our God leads us to spiritual rest in the Lord Jesus Christ, who worked to save us from our sins. By faith, we rest in Him and in His grace, and living waters flow out from our bellies. Jesus tells us this speaks of the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of Christ, given to us, who dwells with us, and who, if you will, leads us to drink of these still waters, the waters of God. The Lord, our good shepherd, spiritually restores our soul. This really speaks of the fact that our souls were lost, but He has found us, and He leads us to salvation, and He renews us. He causes us to be born again. He regenerates us spiritually. He gives us new spiritual life, complete spiritual restoration. And so we have eternal life, the abundant life of Jesus. And so we have this spiritual blessing so that He now leads us again wisely, directing us as though we were helpless, dependent sheep, unable to direct ourselves. He directs us in the paths of righteousness. He shows us the way to take that is right. And so He leads us in practical, righteous, and holy living. The righteousness of Christ has become ours by faith, counted as ours, and now He leads us in this wonderful fellowship with God, walking in the light, walking on the highway of holiness in paths of righteousness. And He does this, verse 3 tells us, for His name's sake. That really means that God has done this. He has become our shepherd for His own glorious purposes, or for His own glory, or so that we, His sheep, will glorify our Father and shepherd for His godly and perfect care for us materially and spiritually. Praise God. My friends, the shepherd of the Hebrew culture at the time of David's writing was a man who, like Uganda's shepherds or cattle keepers or herdsmen, would care and tend for the flock. The shepherd in ancient Israel would be with the flock, usually night and day, so that David writes about the fact that as he tended the sheep, that he was cold at night and the dew fell upon him in the nighttime and the sun would strike him in the daytime. And so it was a day and night occupation. It was a job of constant care for the sheep. And it was a job in which the shepherd would lead and go to the front of the flock. And the flock who knew the shepherd, who listened to his voice, would follow his lead. In Uganda, I see often that herdsmen tend to lead from the rear of the herd. They move them forward from behind, but the Hebrew shepherd would lead from the front. He would simply go before them in the way, and they would simply follow him because they knew him to be their caregiver, their good shepherd. And so the sheep followed the shepherd as he led. So it is that Jesus leads us, and we simply follow him in these paths of righteousness that he takes us on. So that in verse 4, we find that the Lord reveals to us that David says, yes, though I walk even through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. And he tells us why. It is because the good shepherd is with him. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. This speaks of the fact that Jesus, my friends, will lead us through death and the grave into the presence of God our Father. We shall not go into the grave alone. Let me just share quickly with you some personal thoughts. Recently, I was struggling with some pain and a back injury. I've mentioned that before. And one night, this kind of horrifying thought came into my mind that what would it be like to die in intense pain and to go into the grave and to be absolutely overwhelmed by this intense pain? And I struggled with that thought. And then the thought came from the Good Shepherd that Jesus would not leave me alone then, that when my time to die and leave this world, perhaps even in intense pain, comes, that my Good Shepherd is going to go with me into the grave, that is, by his Spirit, and my fellowship with him will not be broken, but at the very moment of death comes my absolute freedom from sin and death and misery. At that moment, when I simply go to be with the Lord, Jesus will take me with the holy angels into the presence of the Father. And so David declares, knowing that God is with him, knowing that God will be with him when he goes to the valley of the shadow of death. Isn't that a beautiful picture of the nearness of death, as though death casts a shadow in the valley, and so that one approaches death itself in a shadowed valley, a darkened valley. He says, I will not fear evil then, because you are with me, my good shepherd. And the shepherd's protecting rod and staff, known to the sheep, is a comfort, David says. The rod was used to fight wild animals, and the staff is used to direct the flock. And so God's provision, again, God's instruments of salvation, even in the valley of the shadow of death, are of comfort to David. My friend, I pray that the Spirit will comfort you mightily today, that when your time comes to leave this world, whatever the circumstances may be, that in Christ, the Good Shepherd will be with you, and he will comfort you in death. The death of his saints is precious to God, the Scripture declares. God will not forsake us at that time when we most need him, perhaps the most needy time of our lives, when we leave this world. And in a moment, our pain and suffering shall be over. The door to God's house will be flung open fully, and we shall enter into God's presence with the Good Shepherd who comforts us. The Lord Jesus will go into the grave with you. He will not abandon you. Now we find in verses 5 and 6 this beautiful picture of the banqueting table. And we remember that the book of Revelation tells us that Christ has prepared a wedding banquet. A wonderful time of celebration awaits us when the church is fully wedded at the wedding feast, at the wedding banquet, to the bridegroom, the Lord Jesus Christ. And so David, in speaking of this glorious truth by the Spirit, tells us that God has prepared a table, a banqueting table, in the presence of his enemies. David had many enemies, the righteous David, just as Paul had many foes, the righteous Paul, just as it is that the Good Shepherd, the Lord Jesus Christ, had many who opposed him. And so the righteous man will have enemies, sadly, even in the church at times. We find that fellow believers will trouble us in misunderstandings and contentions. But nevertheless, and this is a great and grievous trial, it is a painful circumstance for us, just as we find that Paul experienced great pain in writing to the Corinthian church about their misunderstanding and about their wrong assumptions about him, about how they had been led away from the truth about Jesus and even about him by the enemy, by the devil. But nevertheless, Paul continued to love them and serve them and fulfilled his ministry. Just a side note this morning, that ministry will always involve some measure of difficulty. Ministry will always involve, service to the Lord Jesus will always involve this problem from those who oppose the gospel. Again, misguided at times by true believers in the church. This misguided opposition. Nevertheless, David rejoices that God has prepared a table, and what a table it is that God prepares for his people. Our thoughts and imaginations, our highest thoughts about the glory of this banqueting table, fall infinitely short of the reality that God, in his infinite ability, will honor us with great blessing, with eternal blessing, as though we live in a constant state of absolute honor coming from God himself. And again, the picture of our presence there with our enemies indicates to us the high honor, the absolute honor. And God, my friends, can honor his people in all of his wisdom and ability, and he will do this, David declares. In fact, the picture here is of God serving, God himself serving and anointing the head with oil. This was a refreshment. It was a blessing that was tended to honor guests so that the host would anoint the head with oil. He would pour fragrant oil upon the head, which would refresh the guest at the banqueting table, so that God himself will minister to us and our cups will run over. Isn't that a beautiful picture of the abundance, the absolutely blessedness of this ministry that God will honor us in, his own ministry to us, as though our cup of blessing will never be drained. It is not possible. The cup of blessing runs over, and that eternally. So that David declares that God himself will honor him as a guest, and God will lavish goodness and mercy upon him all the days of his life, all the days of his earthly pilgrimage, his time in this world, and that he will come to abide and live in the house of God, the house of the Lord, for eternal ages, forever and ever. Praise God. So it is that the shepherd would dwell with the sheep in Hebrew culture, and it is that God himself, the good shepherd, dwells with us. In fact, he created us for this great purpose of being with us. He wants us with him to fellowship with us. God desires our presence in his eternal home. And so it is that Jesus tells us in John 14 that he has gone to prepare a place, a dwelling place for us, and that he will bring us to be with him there where he is. He desires that fellowship. He desires to be with us in that capacity. And the Lord Jesus Christ, my friends, is going to surely perform his will. He is God over all. He is going to bring us to dwell in his beautiful and blessed house. Now, again, think about this for just a moment. Jesus says, I go to prepare a mansion or a most splendid dwelling place for you. David declares by the Spirit of Jesus that he will dwell in this most splendid house of the Lord. And his good shepherd is leading him home even now, so that David follows the shepherd, Jesus, who goes before us in all things. He came and he suffered for our sins to rescue us, to bring us into his flock. He goes before us to protect us, to guide us, to lead us, to provide for our every need. Jesus is taking us in his leading to the Father's house, to the house of God the Lord. He is taking us home. And as David follows the good shepherd, the Lord Jesus Christ, goodness and mercy follow him. The real picture here is that David is surrounded by goodness, the Lord before him, and mercy follow him. Goodness and mercy are personified here as fellow travelers. They are his companions. It's really a beautiful and poetic way the Spirit has given us to know that God will never withdraw his goodness or mercy from us, that he will surely be good to us and merciful to us, as though these were our fellow companions traveling with us in company to our Father's house, where we shall dwell forever and ever. Amen. And so, my friends, let us close this morning simply by reading again Psalm 23. I really encourage you to memorize this psalm. If some of you do, you will find rich, rich blessing from Psalm 23. And I trust that some of you will indeed take my counsel and make godly application. Memorize this beautiful psalm. It's short. It's easily memorized. And then draw grace and spiritual nourishment and blessing from Christ as His word abides in your heart, as you think upon it, as you ponder it and meditate upon it, and as you enjoy the presence of the living God who reveals Himself in His presence to us in the psalm. Hear now Psalm 23, a psalm of David. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for His namesake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for You are with me. Your rod and Your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, my cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Amen. Bless Your word to our hearts, O God, and have Your glory in this. In Jesus' name, amen. So, my friends, until next Lord's Day morning, may the Lord, our good shepherd, bless you.